From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. We've all been there. You're driving along when suddenly you see a bike rider in front of you who coasts through a stop sign or traffic light and you think, hey, what's that person doing? Why don't they come to a complete stop like I have to? Well, they don't. For several years, Oregon law allows bikers to yield instead of stopping at an intersection. And before you say to yourself, but that's unsafe, today's show will bring forth scientific evidence that shows that it's actually safer for the biker and the car driver if a bicyclist yields instead of stopping. In fact, there are a lot of assumptions drivers and some bikers have that are myths about safety and sharing the road, and we'll talk about some of them with a professor of engineering, a traffic planner, and a bike expert. All that's next on Oregon on the Record. Unfortunately, bikes and cars often come into conflict on busy roads and streets. Sometimes it's bad drivers, sometimes it's bad bikers, and many times it's simply a misunderstanding of what each is attempting to do. Today on the show, you'll hear from experts on bike and car interactions and how we can all get along. First up, a professor of engineering who's concluded a study that might surprise many about how bikes and cars can better coexist during the most dangerous of locations, intersections. David Hurwitz, he's a professor of civil engineering and also the Kiewit Center Director at the College of Engineering at Oregon State University. Really appreciate you coming on and talking with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you today, Michael.
Yeah, it's always great to talk to you, and I appreciate the opportunity you've afforded us. So let's talk about, you just conducted this major study about sort of the interaction between bikers and drivers and this concept of a bicycle rolling stop. What did your study find?
Sure. So a couple of the key outcomes were that the behaviors of motorists and cyclists stay at least the same, if not increase, in terms of safety operating under this new law. And so that was one of the major findings. Second observation from the study is that the average awareness about the current bicycle rolling stop law in the state of Oregon and elsewhere is not nearly as high as we would like, depending on the population that we sampled, drivers or bicyclists in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. Familiarity with the law ranged from 30 to 70%. And gosh, that's a lot lower than we would like to see.
As I was reading the information about your study, I thought it was interesting, you know, this idea that an intersection tends to be the most dangerous place between, cyclists and drivers, which, again, as a non-expert such as myself, I'm thinking, boy, if a car and a bike are traveling at a higher rate of speed, there's going to be a lot of problems there. But it sounds like the intersection where maybe it's slower rates of speed, you know, that still creates a problem, doesn't it?
You know, that's an excellent point. There's many different crash typologies, whether we're on a segment of roadway, whether we're dealing with horizontal and vertical curvature, or if we're into the intersection space, whether it's, you know, roundabouts, signalized intersections, stop controlled configurations, so on and so forth. One of the places that we get concerned about mixed mode conflicts, cars and bikes, pedestrians, and other versions of micromobility, is the intersection, because the turning movements that occur bring you across conflicting movements of traffic, depending on how that location is controlled. And so as we're talking about the confluence of turning motor vehicles that are quite a bit heavier with more momentum and certain blind zone limitations, and then vulnerable road users that don't have the on-vehicle safety systems that you might as a passenger in a car, those interactions are concerning. And so, you know, in our state, in the state of Oregon, when we tend to see one of the overrepresentations of fatal bike crashes is in turning movements at intersections. And so that's one point of concern.
I see. I would imagine that there are a lot of strictly car drivers who see this rolling stop and have seen it for a long time, you know, and thinking that, boy, there's another bike rider not following the law or not being safe. And I imagine it creates a certain tension.
You're absolutely spot on. And I think resolving some of those misconceptions can lead to greater degrees of both comfort while navigating the roadway environment, as well as increased compliance and correct decision making. You know, and so there have been quite a few studies that have dealt with different types of road users and their compliance with the rules of the road, with traffic control devices, with local and municipal policies and standards. And generally speaking, like the rigorous research that has evaluated cyclist behavior comes back with most cyclists most of the time are conforming to the correct standards of practice. And I think a broader question becomes when certain rules and regulations limit one's willingness to select active modes of transport, then we have to really consider if those standards are correct or not.
To get into the weeds a little bit, because one of the things I'm fascinated about is how you conducted the study, because I imagine there's a lot of computer modeling involved. Talk about how you went about gathering this empirical evidence.
So this was a pretty novel experimental design for us. Our group and our collaborators do lots of different kinds of experiments. The big part of this particular research was conducted in a laboratory using driving and bicycling simulators. Hmm. And so in order to do that, we build virtual models of the world rendered in software, and we present them to drivers and bicyclists on large screens surrounding their vehicles, so that they're interacting in a virtual environment, but with a physical car or bicycle in their hands and at their feet. And so what was particularly novel about this experiment was that the bicycle and the bicycling and the driving simulators were connected, so that pairs of users were in the labs, drivers and bicyclists, and they were interacting with the avatars of one another. Hmm. So the real decision making and actions of each user was rendered on the screen, and they were responding in real time to one another. But because that's the scenario we find ourselves in at an intersection when we're making judgments about gap acceptance or slowing down or accelerating, so on and so forth.
I'm curious if in your research, do drivers tend to act safer when they are faced with a pedestrian at a crosswalk versus a bike? And I'm wondering, is there something about that you know, we're sort of hardwired as drivers to see pedestrians as these incredibly vulnerable entities, and because a bike is a vehicle, is there tend to be maybe less caution afforded that type of an interaction?
You know what? That's an outstanding question. We've done quite a bit of work in the lab thinking about how drivers interact with both cyclists and pedestrians in a variety of different intersection constructs. And one thing that comes to my mind as we try and compare and contrast some of those experiments would be, generally speaking, the positions where you would actively search for a pedestrian and the places where their paths are going to intersect with motor vehicles tends to be a little bit more predictable. At the kinds of intersections where we see lots of interactions, we tend to have marked crosswalks. And if they're signalized, we tend to have phases that define when the pedestrians are going to cross the street. Of course, road users jaywalk and don't follow the indications and displays that we present them all the time, but a little bit more often than not, it's easier to predict where a pedestrian is going to be as compared to a bicyclist, depending on what the infrastructure orientation is. Bicyclists move quite a bit faster, so they're a tougher target to detect. Hmm. And depending on the scenario, they can either behave like a vehicle or be allocated an exclusive right-of-way in striped and marked bike lanes. And so those scenarios vary a little bit more than they do with pedestrians.
You know, Professor, my last question for you is this. It seems as though, and I, of course, wanted to get your read on this, is when we're talking about overall, you know, convenience, safety, mobility through a particular community, This idea of sharing the road, bicyclists and motorists and pedestrians, is it sounds like a strategic blend of both civil engineering and social engineering. Does that make sense? Is that kind of the sweet spot to make sure that we've got the right engineering to, when possible, you know, make intersections safer, separate bicyclists and car drivers when possible, but then also, you know, hoping that we can get more car drivers to understand what bicyclists are doing and what they need and vice versa.
You know, I'm not objective in this instance, but gosh, I couldn't agree with you more. And so when I think about safe systems for surface transportation, we tend to talk about engineering, enforcement, and education. And there's a role for each one of those elements in promoting better outcomes for all system users. My particular niche in the engineering space is thinking about transportation human factors, the abilities and limitations of system users, and applying that knowledge to build traffic control devices that produce greater levels of comprehension for all road users, that increase compliance rates for correct decision making, and that sort of optimize human performance, alert us to dangerous situations before they might occur, provide us margins of safety to mitigate crash outcomes. So I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's absolutely a role for both the engineering of the physical systems, but also the consideration of humans and how they interact with the built environment.
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating study, and hopefully more and more of all of us, whether you're a driver, a biker, or both, you know, kind of understand this interaction. Professor David Hurwitz, who is a professor of civil engineering and the Kiewit Center Director at the College of Engineering at OSU, as always, really appreciate talking to you and getting your insights.
Michael, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
The next voice you'll hear works at the City of Eugene, and whose goal it is to make Eugene a world-class bike-friendly city. Shane Rhodes, the Transportation Options Program Manager for the City of Eugene and also a league cycling instructor, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah. Why don't you just kind of give us a general overview of what the City of Eugene does to try and make biking safer and more convenient around the city?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different ways that we approach it. And one of the most important ways is through infrastructure. Mm. And so people have definitely noticed, I'm sure, over the past several years, the change in infrastructure of taking our traditional striped painted bike lanes and turning them into protected bike lanes. So now we have many more bikeways that are protected by curbs or bollards so that we increase the comfort level so it feels safer to ride a bike. And one of the things that we know that increases safety the most is more people riding. And so we want to encourage more people to ride. And the way we know to do that is by making it feel safer. And so by putting in these protected bikeways, these bike signals, doing these kind of infrastructure improvements, then we know that we increase the number of people who are interested and trying out riding and getting out there and getting on their bikes more often. And that's what really increases the safety most is safety in numbers.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, the twofold piece is the infrastructure and then the education and the encouragement.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. Obviously, that sort of melding of physical engineering, but then also social engineering, you know, and you instruct people who teach bike safety. Talk about that, because, you know, I guess, unfortunately, you know, there's this idea of almost competition between a car driver and a biker. And I wanted to kind of see how you view it and how you view the education of people on bikes, but then of course, education of people who drive cars.
Yeah. In our education programming, not only do we have Safe Routes to School and our programming that is teaching people from everything from learning how to ride a bike up to learning how to ride a bike in traffic or as part of traffic, all the way to e-bike safety education and all these educational programmings around cycling. But like you said, there is also the how do we teach people who are driving? You know, it is a very small part of a traditional driver's ed program is how to drive around people who are what we call vulnerable road users, or those people who are walking and biking. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to expand that education. There's a program called Oregon Friendly Driver. Hmm. And Oregon Friendly Driver is a program anyone can take online. You can also have a presentation or a webinar or a live class that we talk about. What are the changes in the infrastructure? Because a lot of people are like, what's going on? Like, what is this infrastructure? Like, what? Why do we have this? And how do I drive around it? You know, whether it's roundabouts or protected bikeways or bike signals or, you know, changes in laws like the Oregon, you know, stop is yield, mm-hmm. Formerly known as Idaho Stop. There's a lot of changes in that infrastructure and laws. And we're trying to educate people on that as much as we can.
How should a driver view a biker? Is it another vehicle and you should look at it that way, or is there another way to kind of view it?
You're right. There's a whole half hour program we could have on just this, that there is this, even within the biking community, there was a long discussion over decades around vehicular cycling and, you know, bikes as vehicles, and that we shouldn't even have special bike infrastructure, that people driving should just learn to operate their vehicles around the bicycle as a vehicle, and we don't need special lanes. We'll just take the lane, right? And there was definitely that, even within the bike community, that sentiment. What we know is, as I mentioned earlier, is that the only way to increase safety is to increase numbers. And the majority of people are just never going to feel comfortable riding a bike in that mixed environment. Mm. And so there's a saying that you'll have peace on the road when everyone has a piece of the road. And that's really what we're getting to, is this point where we really designate the space so that people feel safe cycling, but then also drivers know, oh, this is a bike street. This is where I can expect to see other bikers. And we really draw people to that, and we increase the numbers of people using it so that people driving know that, oh, I'm going to see a lot of people on bikes here. People biking feel comfortable because they're on that street. And so, like, that's our goal, is to get more people in that area to feel safer. And so whether it's High Street or 13th or these key corridors that we're trying to build up to make it so that anyone of any age can feel, you know, our All Ages and Abilities Network can feel safe and comfortable. I can send my, you know, 12-year-old, when they were first doing trips on their own, out on their bike, and not only on the PATH network, but actually in the streets.
Great, great. Well, Shane Rhodes, the Transportation Options Program Manager and a League Cycling Instructor, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
And now, a quick conversation with a biking evangelist who thinks both bikers and drivers need to better understand each other. Sue Walling, who is a co-chair of the Active Transportation Advisory Committee for the City of Eugene, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
Do you find that Eugene is a pretty bike-friendly place? Do you find that, you know, maybe it wasn't a decade ago, but it's getting better? I just kind of wanted to get your read on how you see things.
I think in general, motorists and bicyclists in Eugene get along really quite well, and it's quite easy to get around by bike. It does seem like perhaps there's been a little more aggressive driving since the pandemic, for whatever reason. I don't really know. But in general, I think people get along pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that car drivers and bikers have a good sense of what is legal and what's not?
I think so in general. I mean, it is true that kind of the more experienced you are at riding a bike, the safer you can be. And, mm-hmm. and some of these things they're a little bit counterintuitive. I mean, many people who are riding a bike, especially if they're relatively new, they feel like they need to ride as far to the right side of the road as possible. In fact, that's not really the safest place to be, because that's where all the debris is going to accumulate. That's
sure.
where there are going to be more hazards. You could hit the curb, whatever. You're really going to be much safer not being way off to the side of the road, as if you don't belong on the road.
Yeah.
Because you do.
Yeah.
And particularly on the streets where bikes and cars are expected to share the lane, you need to be out in the middle of the road. That's mm-hmm. why those sharrows, which people seem to not understand, are, you know, the bicyclist really needs to take his place on the road just like a car would.
Boy, even if a pedestrian does something silly, we still are, you know, well, we've got to avoid that for obvious reasons and for safe reasons. it might be that sometimes car drivers view bikes a little differently. I don't know. I just wanted to see if you kind of felt that way as well, that because they're rolling along, they don't necessarily, and this is a silly statement to make, but they almost don't deserve the same reverence as we might see a pedestrian. I don't know if you feel that way sometimes.
Well, I mean, I think it is true that there are all sorts of bicyclists doing all kinds of things on the road. I think people who do it more regularly learn to just follow the rules of the road and do what's expected. There are people who grew up thinking of a bike as a toy, basically, and they swerve all over the road. They go up on the sidewalk. They go in alleys. They run through red lights. They do all kinds of crazy things like you would if you were on a toy, maybe.
Okay.
And I think that makes it hard for everybody.
Yeah. Are there some... I still know people who are just car drivers and have never really been bikers, and they think something like this. Oh, well, bikers, you know, they shouldn't be on the road at all. They should be on the sidewalk. And of course, that's wrong. But are there other sort of myths that you've come across that maybe bikers and car drivers need to understand that's not the way the law is written, or that's not the way for safe interaction?
Yeah, I would certainly say that riding on the sidewalk is not safe because your drivers are just not going to see you if you're on the sidewalk. So those are the two keys to riding safely: is be predictable and be visible. And basically, and it's funny because sometimes motorists are trying to be, I know they're trying to be deferential to or protective of bicyclists, and it sometimes screws things up. Like, if you would just do the normal thing, that's what everyone is expecting, and that's what will keep everybody safer. So don't stop or slow way down just because you see a bicyclist, and don't necessarily stop if a bicyclist is wanting to cross your street, because that's just going to not be what anybody is expecting, and it just adds more confusion, which is a hazard in itself.
Sure. In fact, that's a great word of advice. Be predictable, you know, not have to make a driver or a bicyclist guess what you're going to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Great advice. Sue Walling, who is a co-chair of the Active Transportation Committee, really appreciate you coming in and sharing your wisdom and knowledge about biking and car driving cohabitation.
Okay.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow, you'll hear a conversation with the new leader of Planned Parenthood of Southwest Oregon. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.